This program is being recorded for broadcast and replay on our website and on Awakening Together Radio and on our YouTube channel. Please be aware that by speaking or typing on the board, you give consent to have your comments become a part of the recording. Okay, it's officially 10:15. And now I will hand over the mic to you, Regina.
Hi, Don, and hi, everyone. Welcome to our weekly gathering. I'm going to introduce you to my friend Jesus. He always sits here with me when I do the weekly gathering. This is Jesus. Can you see him well? Let's see. Yeah, he's carved in stone by our friend Shiva in Tiruvannamalai on Arunachala. So he always sits here with me, looking at me actually he's not looking at me because his eyes are closed. He's holding the space as we do the weekly gathering. And we're going to start today, now that Jesus has had the chance to greet you all, we're going to start today by letting you greet one another. And as you do, I will play our traditional song, which is Awakening by Deborah Pamal and Mitten.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
So, hi again. So let me share our third core value, which is the statement of purpose that I'm using for today's weekly gathering. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. I have some announcements to make before we get into the devotional part of our service. I'm going to share my screen again. I like to show and tell during the announcements now that we have Zoom. So what I would like to do is share with you some of the retreats that are coming up at the Awakening Together Retreat House, which is right here, retreats at the Retreat House. And you'll see the retreats that are coming up very soon are listed on the menu, the Freedom from the Ego Retreat, the Meditation and Mitigation Retreat, and the Self-Inquiry Dyad Retreat. But you can always find all of the retreats for the entire year if you want to look ahead, where it says all retreats at the Retreat House. And in fact, you will notice that indeed there are retreats listed here for the entire year. So that allows you to do some planning and allows you to do some pre-reserving, buying plane tickets while they're cheap, that kind of thing. But today I'm going to talk about the retreats that are coming up very soon. The first one is the Freedom from the Ego Retreat, March 11 to 15. And this retreat, no one has signed up for. So if people don't register within the next couple of days, I'm actually going to cancel this retreat. And one reason I want to say that is because if you were thinking about coming, that means you need to register today or tomorrow or the retreat will be canceled. The Freedom from the Ego Retreat, the purpose of that retreat is to help us see the ego better. You know, the ego sends some very sly messages hidden behind other stuff. We get distracted by the other stuff and we don't notice the sly messages that we are believing and that we're actually serving. So the purpose of this retreat is to, there will be several tools, several methods shared during the retreat that will help you see what you're believing that you don't even know you're believing. I consider it a pretty important retreat, but it will be offered again in December if you're just not able to come in March. Again, right now, there's no one registered, but if even one person registers, I'll hold the retreat. So if you are planning to register for this retreat, please do so today or tomorrow. If no one has registered by Tuesday morning, when I wake up, I'll cancel the retreat. another retreat that I would like to point out that is coming up very soon, and this retreat has lots of registrations. It's the Self-Inquiry Dyad Retreat. This retreat will be led primarily by Anne Blanchard and Jacqueline Eckert, although they have asked me to do an introduction, so the first day may be led more by me. This retreat, you know, it's not anywhere near what we would call full, but the sleeping quarters at the retreat house are almost full. More people can come to this retreat even when we run out of sleeping quarters at the retreat house. You just have to stay elsewhere. But I think there's only a couple of beds left. And in fact, I think they're in the ladies' dorm. So I think we're already full where men are going to have to stay elsewhere if you come. So this is a retreat if you're planning to come to, you may want to think about signing up for soon, especially if you want to stay at the retreat house. But again, you know, there are plenty of places to stay in La Vida. They are all inexpensive and they're all very, very close. I live on one end of town and the retreat house is on the other end of town. And that's only 1.3 miles. So so there's just nothing far away in La Vida. But at this retreat, what you will do is you'll be paired up, as you can see the two Buddhas here. You will be paired up and you will practice self-inquiry together. And we have found that that is a very intense way of practicing self-inquiry. And by intense, what I mean is you see way further into yourself than you sometimes do when practicing self-inquiry alone. So we definitely recommend the self-inquiry dyad format. And so if you'd like to learn that format, this retreat, April 15 to 19, is an excellent opportunity to learn that format. Of course, the registration page, the registration link and the information about the retreat is right here on the page. For those who are listening to an audio later, I'll just point out that, again, this is underneath retreats and classes on our menu bar, retreats at the retreat house. And if you look at that menu, you'll find where it says self-inquiry dyad retreat. I also want to introduce you to our movie of the month. Our movie of the month is called Sea of Trees. Here's the trailer.
I have another showing tomorrow. How about a quick lunch and I can pick up something on the way over?
Tomorrow I'm pretty busy.
You don't care. Your mind's always somewhere else.
What about you, Arthur?
My article?
Yeah.
It's a fantastic article.
Have you read it, John?
No.
She doesn't read my work.
Well, you think it's right that your wife does all the heavy lifting so you can pretend to be an intellectual?
Here we are, the lake house.
I love that lake.
Hey, Dad.
It's my paradise.
Now, why can't you just be happy for me?
Because I'm too busy feeling bad for myself.
The MRI detected a small mass.
How risky is the surgery?
It's a highly invasive procedure.
Do you believe in God?
I'm a scientist. God is more our creation than we are his.
If God is not waiting for you on the other side, who is?
All the anger and the pretending and the fighting, it all got put on hold.
It is during our darkest times that our loved ones are closest.
I want to die, Arthur. In some cold, empty room surrounded by people who are only there because it's their job to be.
Things are not what they seem here.
It's always that moment, you know? Life-changing moment.
You can go back there whenever you want to.
Promise me.
I promise.
Do you love her?
More than anything on earth.
So again, that's our movie this month for our movie discussion group. And our movie discussion group will be held March 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So there's plenty of time to catch that movie. It's called The Sea of Trees. The Sea of Trees. I also want to mention that the Awakening Together radio is moving to Florida. I guess it started the snow here in Colorado. Actually, the radio, just like anything technical, needs to be managed. And right now, Don attempts to manage it through TeamViewer remotely, but that's very challenging. So what we've decided to do is to ship the radio to her in Florida. So what that means is on Wednesday, March 6th, this coming Wednesday, the radio will go down and it will be packaged up and it will be shipped to Florida and it will be down until it arrives in Florida and she's able to unpack it and get it back up. We don't know exactly how long that will take, but we're estimating about a week. So there's a planned outage for the Awakening Together radio beginning sometime this Wednesday. And again, it's moving to Florida. Also, the last announcement is tonight is our quarterly member meeting. Tonight at the meeting, I am going to share our 2018 annual financial report. I will also share all about the Awakening Together Fall Retreat that has been fully planned now and it's open for registration. So tonight I'll tell you all about that fall retreat. We're also going to have some friends who were at the Natural Meditation Retreat in La Vida in February come and share their reflections from the retreat house. And then I have a couple other smaller things on the agenda as well. So please come to our quarterly member meeting tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern time, which is, of course, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, and 5 Pacific. So what I'm going to do now is begin the devotional part of our service. Let me just peek at the chat because I don't watch it very well, just to see if anybody is asking anything. All right. So let me share the devotional part of our service, starting with a song. The name of this song, it's the Monster Wake Me Up Mashup. It's two songs sung by two ladies at the same time. One song is The Monster, the other one is Wake Me Up, so it's a mashup. And it's by two lovely sisters. Their names are Megan and Jacqueline Davies.
Mm-hmm.
my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught up in a dream. Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes. Well, that's fine by me. So wake me up when it's all over. Get along with when I'm wiser and I'm older. You're trying to save me. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. No, I ain't much of a poet, but I know somebody once told me to seize the moment and don't squander it, cause you never know when it all could be over tomorrow. So I keep conjuring. Sometimes I wonder where these thoughts come from. My OCD is conking me in the head. Keep knocking, nobody's home, I'm sleepwalking. Just relaying with the voice in my head, saying don't shoot the messenger, I'm just friends with the monster.
Wake me up when it's under my bed over.
Get along with
when
the
I'm
voices inside
and
of my head. You're trying to
all
save
this time
me.
Before I go into the prayer, I'd like to share some lines. I don't know if you guys could tell, I was writing like a mad woman while listening to that song. But there were some pretty important lines in that song, and I'd like to share them first as a contemplation before we go into the prayer. One of the songs talked about, I'm friends with the monster under my bed. Friends with the voices inside my head. Didn't know I was lost. I'll read that again. I'm friends with the monster under my bed. Friends with the voices inside my head. Didn't know I was lost. And then the other song talked about waking up. And it said, I'm guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where this journey will end, but I know where to start. Seize the moment and don't squander it. You don't know when it will all end. I'll read that again. Guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. Seize the moment and don't squander it. You don't know when it will all end. Let's go into prayer, starting with silence. I want to say thank you Thank you very much for this clarity on what we are to do. If we want to stop being friends with the monster under the bed, stop being friends with the voices in our head, follow the beating heart, take the journey, and wake up. The world is like an incredible maze where so many people are lost, even though they don't know it. And then even when we find what seems to be the spiritual path, it's really just another maze, a smaller section of the worldly maze. So to have found the directions, the direct path that leads out of the maze, back to the truth of what we are, is amazing. We're right here in awakening together with all of these lights flashing, pointing at it, the direct path, the direct path, the direct path. And now all we really need is the motivation to take it, because we've become somewhat addicted to the maze. Like a mouse that's been in a cage so long that when you open the door, it's afraid to leave the cage. Help us to discover the motivation. We do know which way to go. We don't know where the journey will end, but we know which path to take. We're very fortunate in awakening together. Help us to find genuine, true motivation. Amen. All right. So now we go into our reading. And Ron Raitz is going to be our reader today. He will be reading excerpts from an article recently written by Bentinho Massara. The article is called A Super Direct Practice to Realize the Absolute for the Advanced Adept, which I really think Awakening Together falls into that category, the Advanced Adept. When Bentinho refers to the Advanced Adept, he means for the person who's ready to leave the maze, quit being entertained by the maze, even the spiritual section of the maze. So, Ron, please take the mic.
Here's the reading. Maintain awareness of the ever-present eye sense and intensify your concentration on it. Focus intently on the pre-verbal and primordially instinctive feeling of I exist. It comes with a sense of consciousness being aware of its own beingness, a heightened sense of awareness. Awake vibrancy or lucidity is one of its hallmarks. Depending on the breed of seeker or adept, you are aware, and your former experience with direct path teachings, you will have to do this exercise for weeks, months, or years with as much intensity and devotion as you want to give to this practice before you will be able to generate enough awareness of I exist for it to be radiant, bright, all-pervading, energized, blissful, awake, and all-inclusive. Continue the practice until it is directly, experientially, and clearly obvious to you that all of creation belongs to this beingness, to this consciousness. This is much like the feeling of realizing that everything which appears in a dream exists entirely inside and due to the substratum of the dreamer's mind. It does not exist outside of the dreamer. It is similar to the fact that the rays of the sun are inseparable from the sun as their source. Having merely an intellectual picture of this inseparability, this oneness principle, is not enough. It has to become deeply experiential to you that all of the manifestation belongs to or happens or appears inside as a result of the I consciousness only. This is why I said it requires weeks, months, or years of intensive practice. Realizing the absolute is for the advanced, rare, highly experienced seeker who has already gone through the process of knowing himself or herself and balanced himself or herself through accepting them as he or she is, yet feels a deep yearning inward toward the one infinite liberation. Subtitled, The Next Step Toward the Final Evaluation. Elevation. Once you have gained this overwhelming direct experience of the vibrant inseparability of everything with its root stratum, substratum, the I or the I Am principle, the next and final practice is to intensely intend to wake up from this all-inclusive I presence, as if trying to wake up from a dream while a portion of you is still dreaming, or like when there is an immediate need to snap out of a mental illusion or a delusion. Continue this practice of abiding in the all-pervading I Am, and then intend to awaken from the very I Am root, substratum, as if trying to wake up from a dream while still dreaming. Intensify this attempt until you are directly one in experience with the one infinite absoluteness. The transition phases preceding this moment of penetration can be kind of unusual or intensely energetic as your experience of creation begins to fold inside out, to disappear, slip away. These energetic sensations are, in my experience, safe to ignore. In fact, in order to successfully experience infinity, you will have to, at your own pace, continue the practice of waking up from this and this and this too and that too, and apply the going beyond whatever you currently notice practice to the weird sensations of unusual perceptions. One has to even apply the practice of realizing that one is not what one presently experiences to the expansive, bright, all-pervasive, light love isness of the God state, the I substance in all. Even the universal beingness to which all other perceptions innately belong must be totally ignored and dismissed in order to go beyond it, to disidentify with it, and to begin the penetrating of the veil of the grand illusion, which you know as all that is, or creation, that which is beyond, lies beyond the infinite absolute, beyond which lies the infinite absolute. Next subtitle, What Does a Formless, Objectless Infinity Feel Like? Creation, the feeling of presence or beingness or consciousness or the I Am will abruptly disappear from view, and with it will go everything inside of it, an indescribable void like ocean of awake and infinitely intelligent reality will remain as the one self alone. It is really not possible to describe this because it is beyond consciousness, and all description happens due to, inside of, inseparably from the I consciousness, which your mind is an extension of. The absolute is not aware in the typical sense of subject and object, nor even in the I consciousness sense, which is like a formless, locationless field of awareness, light, love, existence. Rather, awareness returned to the one absolute reality is inherently self-aware without objects, subjects, or the universal field of presence, consciousness, the I Am. Instead, it is innately self-comprehending. It is infinitely aware of itself without any other means than its own inherent self-comprehension. This is way beyond and radically distinct from what most enlightenment practices point and lead to. The absolute is, well, it's infinite perfection. Nothing ever happened in the absolute. It is complete. It is real and indestructible and cannot be gone beyond. Don't worry, you will know for sure when you have penetrated into your absoluteness. beyond presence, beingness, isness, consciousness, experiencing, and creation altogether. You will know infinite perfection when you're it. You'll begin to glimpse it when you stay the threshold between consciousness, beingness, the I sense in its purest form, and the infinite true self beyond that. If you can still doubt at all whether or not you've penetrated it, you haven't. Thus, continue the practice. In short, step one, you wake up from thought to ever-present, stable, innermost I sense. Step two, you wake up from this all-pervasive I sense too, until nothing but yourself, the absolute, is known. Are you wondering if this is possibly not for you? In an age where political correctness is held in high esteem by the polluted human mind and has infiltrated every aspect of our mostly fear-based social consciousness, the idea that the world is not real or substantial is an offensive, dangerous suggestion to the sheep of this collective. So for those of you afraid of the fact that there is not really a world out there and who would rather hold on to the little stream of information trickling into your beingness every day in the form of sense organs lying to you over the truth of your own experience, you can safely return to your mindfulness and other politically correct and socially acceptable forms of introductory spiritual practice. Bland, unfulfilling, but it's according to your own preferred belief system. By a popular New Age Buddhist magazine with many slogans about peace, kindness, and mindfulness laid out on your coffee table, and have fun conversing with your ever-growing clientele or circle of friends about enlightenment, as if you have any real clue what it means, what it requires, and what it results in. Feel better about yourself, because why not? To the rare or seasoned, highly dedicated adept, I say this: thank you for getting this far in your life, in the practice, and in this article, and you may wake up and realize liberation. Blessings are streaming your way, always from source. You deserve absolute freedom and will know it one day if you persevere ever more earnestly in your efforts to see, know, and become the formless, infinite creator, which is the one source behind us all.
Thank you, Ron. You know, Bentinho Massaro is an interesting creature because he teaches everything from a spirituality light to the direct path. And I once asked him about that. And, you know, he gave me an answer that was similar to Krishna's. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said something about, you know, all reasons for starting this spiritual path are good, right? But the best purpose of all was wanting truth beyond everything else. And so Bentinho seems to be willing through his teaching to welcome people who are interested in things like better manifestation, right? Better relationships. In fact, he just did an article, I think it was yesterday, which I thought was really funny, about better relationships. But if you had seen him at the Sedona Experiment Retreat when he was teaching people to get to the absolute, and someone asked about better relationships at that retreat, he didn't answer. He has told me that his only real focus is awakening to the absolute. But he just knows the masses aren't ready for that. And the masses aren't ready for that. Not only the masses of the world, but the masses of spirituality are not ready for the truth. I'm remembering that line, Jack Nicholson. Is it Jack Nicholson? You can't handle the truth. But that's what Awakening Together is all about, in case you guys haven't noticed. You know, our teachings here aren't really about improving manifestation. They never have been. None of our core values are about improving manifestation. Everything that we're about here is waking up to the absolute. And so every single person that's been hanging in here, you know, whether you've been hanging in here for all of Gentle Healing, hanging in here for all of NPP, or hanging in here just since the beginning of Awakening Together, you're amazing. I mean, you really are amazing, because whether you fully know it or not, you must want something that most people don't yet want, because you're hanging in here. It's incredible. You know, it's kind of like how Bentinho ends this article. To the rare and or seasoned, highly dedicated adept, I say this. Thank you for getting this far, right? And he goes on to say, you deserve absolute freedom, and you will know it one day if you persevere ever more earnestly in your efforts to see, know, and become the formless infinite creator, which is the one source behind us all. So I want to say thank you again to everyone that's here. You're really amazing. And that doesn't mean we don't all have a long ways to go. And that doesn't mean that we don't all need a whole lot more inner motivation, right? I mean, we know that too. It's kind of like we've found the path in the maze, the path in the maze that's saying, go this way, go this way, go this way. And like everybody else kind of ignored it. And we found it. And we're standing there looking at it, trying to get the nerve to turn our back on the maze, which has become very, very familiar to us, and actually start walking down this path that almost nobody else is going down. Everybody else is messing around over here, even the other spiritual folks, right? And this path, we don't see so many people. I mean, there are one or two people we can see walking ahead of us, but we can't see what's around the corner. And we just don't know. What's holding us back, regardless of what it appears to be? You know, it could appear to be busyness or interest in something else or whatever. The only thing that's holding us back is fear. Those of you who are in Gentle Healing Year 3, you saw that in a quote recently by Nisargadatta Maharaj. It's a very, very direct quote, that the only thing that's holding us back is fear. So that means the only thing we have to do is overcome fear, which we experience as resistance. And again, it may look like I'm just too busy to sit here and meditate 2 hours a day. But I think it's amazing that we think we're too busy to sit here and meditate 2 hours a day, yet other than the things we absolutely have to do, which may include our job, I am certain that we spend time every day on things that we don't have to do. Nobody's making us do it, that except our fear. Our fear is guiding us to use our time inefficiently. And this isn't new to any of us. I mean, you know, if you've been around Awakening Together for a while, you know that we have been guided by outer voices such as Michael Langford to let go of everything that we don't need to be doing, to do only the most, only the things that we have to do, and then to spend the rest of our free time in meditation. But it's not just Michael Langford. To be honest, if you paid attention in NTI, NTI Luke said the same thing, get rid of all of your distractions until you're focused on the one thought, the singular thought of God, it called it. Those are the words in NTI. If you pay any attention to quotes by Ramana Maharshi or Nisargadatta Maharaj, especially Nisargadatta Maharaj, Nisargadatta Maharaj is huge in asking us to let go of everything we do not have to do. He even says, finish what you've started, but don't say yes to anything new. Right? Finish what you started, but don't say yes to anything new. And allow that free time to build up so that you can go within. So that's really the first aspect of our clear instruction. Is it, if we want to finish this in this lifetime, and they all say, Bentinho, Michael Langford, Nisargadatta Maharaj, Ramana Maharshi, they all say that it's absolutely possible. In fact, They don't just say it's absolutely possible. They say it's guaranteed if you put in the effort, the dedication, and Bentinho added the devotion. It's guaranteed. I love those quotes. They just tell me, if you do it, you know, it's like Jesus, knock and the door shall open. He doesn't say knock and if you're really lucky, maybe the door will open. He says knock and the door shall open. You know, again, one of the quotes that sometimes triggers people up, they usually quote Michael Langford, but Elie Ruisdaer said the same thing. You know, only one in a million people awaken to the absolute. And the way the ego interprets that is, why should I even try? That's a total misinterpretation of that quote. Okay, listen to me now. Listen to me now. Listen to me now. Because I taught this just a couple weeks ago, and like 2 days later, I heard someone who was in the room when I taught this say the same thing, but why should I even try? Which means I wasn't heard. So listen to me now, please. The proper interpretation of that quote is, one, only one in a million people awaken to the absolute, because only one in a million people try. Now compare that with what Nisargadatta Maharaj says, if you try, you will succeed. That's what he says. If you try, you will succeed. So when the ego interprets that quote to say, if only one in a million awaken, why should I even try? It's making sure you stay in that maze. It's making sure you walk right past all those signs that say, direct path this way, direct path this way, direct path this way. And you go right on by it, you know? That's what it's doing. So our first clear instruction is that we need to free up the time. And I've heard from numerous masters, at least 2 hours a day, right? And I will tell you that 2 hours doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, 1 2-hour block, although I found 1 2-hour block is much better. But if you absolutely can't, you know, you could maybe break it up. I try breaking it up. If I find that my meditation is really sluggish, I try breaking it up with something like a shower and then coming back, you know, or a little bit of exercise and then coming back. What I find doesn't work for me, and it may not work for most of you too, I heard someone else say this didn't work, is to only meditate for a certain amount of time in the morning and then get into my day saying I'll come back this evening, because I don't, right? But what has been very successful is sometimes if my meditation is feeling super sluggish, going nowhere, to get up and take a shower, or to get up and do some, not a long walk that's going to wear me out, but just like some stretching, some yoga for 10 minutes or so, and then go back to it. I often feel very revived, and then the meditation experience is much different. So that's what I mean by it doesn't have to be in 1 2-hour block, right? But I don't mean try an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening, because unless you're very different from me, that hour in the evening is never going to happen. So again, this is all still just our first clear instruction, you know, just do it. But we have a couple other very clear instructions that are extremely rare. The funny thing, I probably told you guys this story before, the funny thing is one reason why about once a year I check in with Bentinho. And the reason for that really is the day that I discovered the four principles of God. You know, I was doing it while contemplating the seven steps to awakening, kind of a contemplation that was so deep, it even hit the level of meditation by accident. Because somehow I touched ever so briefly, in just like a nanosecond, the absolute. Just enough to know that it was there. And that's when I understood that what a lot of people call consciousness, what I call the second principle of God, you know, which a lot of people think is the goal, which a lot of people think is awakening, wasn't it? You know, like when you're hiking, sometimes you see what you think is the peak, and you're working towards that peak, and you get closer and closer, and you finally arrive at that peak. just to see there was another peak beyond it that you couldn't see. The first peak is called a false peak because it's not really the top of the mountain. Well, that's what awakening to consciousness is like. It's like the false peak. There's another peak beyond it, and that's called the absolute. That's why I have the second principle of God and the first principle of God, right? And the day that I discovered that, it was incredible for me. It was incredible. I mean, I really felt like I knew a secret that no one else knew. I hadn't heard anybody else talking about this. And after I finished whatever journaling I did that day, I went on Facebook, and at that time I was in a group, which, please excuse the joke in this group. I'd been invited into it, and I went into it. It was a group for enlightened people only. And it was a crazy group because really all these people did was argue with each other. It was an awful, awful group. They all thought they knew more than everybody else. And anyway, so I went into this group one day and Bentinho made a post about something he had just discovered. He called it Beyond the Experiencer, right? Beyond the Experiencer. But I knew as clear as day that what he had just discovered, I had just discovered. I knew we were talking about the same thing. And it was amazing to me that somebody else had fallen into this at the same time that I had fallen into this. Like, it was just amazing. And he made this post really talking about it. And even though I was in this group for these enlightened people, I never really posted. I just kind of watched. But when he made this post, do you know what this group did? Can you guess? Tact, right? Arr! You know, like, that's not true. And they start calling Bentinho crazy. And, he's deluded. He's making stuff up. And they kicked him out of the group because he's no longer enlightened. He's crazy now. And so I went in just kind of, you know, humbly saying, well, actually, you know, I noticed the same thing, and, you know, I don't think he is crazy. And I got kicked out of the group. So that was the end of that. But because he discovered it, you know, if not the same day, within the same week, you know, he was writing about it the same day I did, as if he had just discovered it. It's always created kind of this, I'll call it this exciting connection, where every now and then I like to just check in on him and see where he is. And this article that we just read to you, he just posted in January, you know, so he's still, you know, even though he appears to be teaching these other things, he's still climbing this mountain. Again, what Bentinho and I discovered, and Nisargadatta Maharaj clearly talks about it, and Ramana Maharshi clearly talks about it, and beyond that, I hardly hear anything from anyone about it, is that there's this first level of awakening, which I call the second principle of God. Bentinho has actually been calling it awareness lately. Nisargadatta often calls it consciousness. Ramana Maharshi doesn't seem to really have a name for it, but it's what most people call enlightenment. What most people call enlightenment, awakening to this. And in fact, somewhere in this article, Bentinho said, anyway, he said somewhere in here, I can't find, it's a pretty long article, he said somewhere in here that it's what most people call enlightenment. But it isn't. And in fact, Ramana Maharshi does have a word for it. I just thought of the word he uses for it. He says it's still the impure mind. Imagine that. What most people call awakening, enlightenment, Ramana Maharshi calls impure mind. So the clear instruction that we have, that not everyone has, is that there's a false peak here. That it feels like enlightenment, you know? I'll tell you two other sources that talk about this false peak. A Course in Miracles and Bernadette Roberts. A Course in Miracles calls it the real world. And it's very clear that when you've reached this awakening, something substantial has happened. It's very different than the previous state of believing the ego, of being friends with the monster under your bed. But A Course in Miracles is also very, very clear that the real world is still a dream. If you're still dreaming, have you awakened yet? No. So now we have Bentinho Massaro, A Course in Miracles, Bernadette Roberts, Nisargadatta Maharaj, Ramana Maharshi, and then my own inner realization, all pointing to something that almost no one else points to. And this is where we are very, very, very lucky. By the way, somebody's mic is open, so if y'all will check and see if you're muted, that would be great. So these instructions, first, let me just... Oops, I hear an echo. So again, check your mics. These instructions are very, very simple. Listen to what Bentinho Massaro says. Step one. Now, again, our real step one is find the time and do it. You got to do that first. So this is really step two. So I'll call it step two. Step one, find the time and do it. Step two, you wake up from thought to the ever-present, stable, innermost I sense. That's what I have called in Gentle Healing Year One, I called it unity consciousness. You wake up from the separate self, from the idea that I am this person, to the I am unity consciousness, which Bentinho describes as all of creation is within you. But that's step two. Step one, find the time, do it. Step two, you wake up from thought to the ever-present, stable, innermost I sense. Step three, you wake up from this all-pervasive I sense too, until nothing but yourself, the absolute, is known. You have to see the false peak as a false peak. And keep on hiking. You can't stop there and play around on that peak. Well, you can. I mean, that's what everybody else is doing. but not if you really have a calling to go all the way, is what I mean. Like, you aren't all the way. The name of today's gathering was going all the way. And I wasn't talking about first base, second base, third base, and fourth base, which, you know, paradise by the dashboard light. That's not what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about going all the way, I'm talking about to the absolute. And again, I think what I really want to impress upon us more than anything else is that we already know how. I mean, I can tell you how again, and I probably will briefly. But that isn't really my point, because I'm just telling you what you already know intellectually, right? This has been taught here and taught here and taught here and taught here. What's incredibly special, if you'll forgive that word, is that it's not taught everywhere else. What's incredibly wonderful for each and every one of us is we have the instruction manual. You know, Michael Langford, however, has this little story he likes to tell about these group of people who are planning to go on a trip together. And they get together every week, kind of like our weekly gathering here. They get together every week and they gather in the car, you know, that they're going to take on the trip. And they look at the maps and they read the travel guides and they talk about it and they talk about it. And then they get out of the car. See you next week. They come back together the next week. They do the same thing again. They get out of the car, see you next week. And he says they never put the key in the ignition. I'm here to encourage us to put the key in the ignition, to turn the car on, and to start the trip. We've read the maps. We've read the instruction manuals, right? I'm not here to give you, you know, again, I might briefly, in case somebody's like, what is she talking about? I'll probably go over it a little bit. But I'm not really here to teach that again, because that's where we're lucky. That's what we have. I'm just here to encourage us to actually put the key in the ignition, turn the car on, and to begin the journey. You know, it's like this song says, guided by a beating heart, I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. And that's really all you need to go on a journey, is you need to know where to start. And it helps to know a little bit about this false peak, so you know not to stop too soon. In fact, there was something else in here Bentinho said. He said, if you have any doubt, yeah, if you even have the ability, listen to this, if you can still doubt at all whether or not you've penetrated it, you haven't. Thus, continue the practice. That's another really nice, clear instruction, isn't it? If you can still doubt at all whether or not you've penetrated it, meaning the absolute, you haven't. Thus, continue the practice. So, for those of you who are saying, well, what is she talking about? Let me just kind of summarize the path. The path is closing your eyes and seeking to find out what you are. Recently, in my seven steps contemplations, the image of a plant has arisen. And in this image, what I think I am is the leaf. And what the seven steps contemplations are saying is to investigate the leaf for the purpose of finding the vine. Now, the vine would be like the false peak or the second principle of God. Then once you find the vine, stay with the vine. Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. It has an edge. And at that edge, there is a doorway to the root. Stay with the vine until you find the root. And then step through the doorway into the root. The root, of course, is the source. The root here represents the absolute, the first principle of God. So sometimes what happens at this first level of self-inquiry, and it's what the teachings of Inner Ramana calls small s self-inquiry, and it's a very important part of the self-inquiry, but it still happens really well with your eyes closed. One of the things that happens with this form of self-inquiry is the first thing you discover is all the things you think you are that you aren't. And I'm not talking about the shallow surface stuff. I mean, you think you're a mind. Even, believe it or not, you think your body is somewhat shallow. Even though it sounds deep, it isn't. When you go in, you're going to find stuff in there you never imagined you believed. And to see it for yourself, that, oh my God, I was believing this and didn't even know it, is enlightening. And you can't throw it away until you see it for yourself. This is what the freedom of the ego retreat that I might cancel is all about. It's seeing for yourself what you believe that you didn't even know you believed. You got to see the trash to throw the trash away, right? You don't see it, it stays there. What happens as you begin through little s self-inquiry, using the language of Inner Ramana, to genuinely throw away all this trash, is it kind of clears things up, where this other sense of what you are begins to move forward. When this other sense really begins to move forward, that's when you can really start paying attention to it. This is capital S self-inquiry in the language of Inner Ramana. Here you are genuinely looking at the I am presence. You're not just thinking about it. You're sensing it as me, and you're beginning to look at it. And as Bentinho says, you keep looking at it and keep looking at it and keep looking at it. You actually want to become substantial in seeing yourself as this, even though it's the false peak. When all ideas that you could be anything but the I Am Presence are completely gone, and you are substantially the I Am Presence. In other words, you are centered in the vine. You are no longer the leaf. Then you can begin looking for the root. You're at a new starting point. In fact, Jesus called this being born again. But every birth has a death. You see? This was being born again from the leaf to the vine. But every birth has a death. You're now looking for what the Bible calls the second death. That's in Revelation. You're looking for the second death now. So you stay with this sense of I am. You stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. But what you're really also doing is you're looking for what's beyond it. Here I am, now what's beyond? Here I am, now what's beyond? And you stay with it, stay with it, stay with it until you get sucked into, of course, A Miracle says God takes the last step, the final step, right? You can't actually step across that threshold. You get sucked across that threshold. Until you get sucked into the absolute, which is, as the Course says, beyond perception entirely. And listen to those words, because everybody wants to say, oh no, you still see a world. You know, ask Nisargadatta about that, you know. But I see you sitting there smoking a cigarette. That's in your dream, you know. Beyond perception entirely. That's why you know it when you're there. If you're in perception wondering if you're there, you're not there. You're in the dream. This is what Elie Ruzdar told us. This is what Michael Langford tells us. And this is what everyone wants to continue to deny. It's kind of like we want to have our cake and eat it too. We want to have our world and be awake. And that's what the false peak is all about. And the false peak, I mean, it's really great. The real world, you can, you know, quote, be awake in the dream. I've even heard people say that, those exact words. I'm awake in the dream. Well, then that means you're not awake, doesn't it? If you're in the dream, you're not awake, right? And again, just in case anybody doubts, this is what Awakening Together is all about. There's lots of other spiritual organizations out there that are about different levels of awakening. Awakening Together is about going all the way. And I appreciate that Bentinho really is too, even though sometimes he appears to be about other things. And I appreciate that we have clear guidance from teachers like Nisargadatta Maharaj and Ramana Maharshi. And I want to tell you this, in case you had any doubts. What do you think the Awakening Together Retreat House is all about? Every retreat that I teach there, hopefully this will be true of anyone else who chooses to teach there, but as you know, I have no control over anyone else. Every retreat I teach there is to help you take what we call gently your next step with God. But that means your next step towards total awakening. Your next step on this journey down this one part of the maze that nobody else is going down. We're there at the retreat house to help you down that. It appears to be an uncharted path, but it's not, because there are those who have gone before us. But it's certainly not the path that everyone else is on. You know, Jesus talked about this too, right? Didn't he say, wide is the path to destruction? Narrow is the path to life. Right? What he meant was very few people go this way. Let's imagine for a moment that miracle of miracles, before our physical deaths, 28 people from Awakening Together awaken. That is probably way more than have ever awakened in one short period of time ever before. That's how rare this is. That would be an incredible, incredible miracle. And yet we have everything we need here to do that. We have all the right teachings. We motivate each other. We have weekly meetings where we get in the car and talk about it. But the real purpose of those weekly meetings is to motivate us, because we can really only do this on our own. You know, when I'm really doing the work, you guys aren't there. I'm all alone. And that's the way it's going to be for you too. But we get together, we motivate each other, right? That's really helpful, because we've got to stay motivated. What I'll do when I finish teaching today is I will send Dawn a link to this article by Bentinho, and she can post it with the weekly gathering audio in case anybody wants to read the entire article. I shortened it because, you know, he can get a little long-winded when he's writing, and it's beautiful, but, you know, we didn't want to read for the whole hour. So it's excerpts. But you can go and look at this. By the way, Ron, when he was reading, made a mistake, and I think it was a beautiful mistake. After the step one, awakening to the I am and everything is within you, right? Which again, most people think is enlightenment. After step one, Bentinho wrote, the next step toward the final elevation. But Ron said, the next step toward the final evaluation. And actually, that's true too. You know, the skill doesn't change. The self-inquiry that you do to discover the false self and awaken to the I am is the same self-inquiry, the same evaluation that you use to awaken from the I am to the absolute. So in a way, it is the next evaluation. So I thought that was a pretty cool misspoke, right? But I'll give this link to Dawn. She can post it with the audio, and you can listen to it. What I need to do is move on. I'm looking at the time. I need to move on. So what I will do is share my screen again and play a song so you can contemplate what I've just shared. And of course, if you want to donate to Awakening Together, Dawn will share a link. This is Heaven by the Talking Heads, but this is a cover by Flight.
Everyone is trying to get to the bar. The name of the bar. The bar is called Heaven. And the band in Heaven, they play my favorite song. Play one more time.
Nothing at all. Nothing ever happens.
Now that's a great, great song. And, you know, again, I wrote down a couple lines. One I'm sure you heard: heaven is a place where nothing ever happens, referring to the absolute. But this line is also really important for us to listen to. It's hard to imagine how nothing at all could be so exciting. You see, that's where the fear comes from. You know, we think this is where we're safe. This is exciting. This is where it's happening. You know, heaven is a place where nothing ever happens. It's hard to imagine how nothing at all could be so exciting. So we have to step forward and trust. Again, like the previous song said, I can't tell where the journey will end. We don't really know what that means, what the absolute means, you know, but we're guided by a beating heart. So let's follow. Is there someone who would like to share? We have probably have time for one brief sharing. If there's someone who would like to say something. All right, Kathy, go ahead.
That song reminded me of Michael Langford in The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss, I think, where he says, if during something like this, if during your meditation, you feel like nothing happened, that's great. That's great. And, you know, reading that is one thing. Experiencing that greatness as a result of that nothing happening is a whole nother thing. And I have to be honest with myself that, you know, just because he says that doesn't mean that I do feel great when nothing ever happens, but it's enough that it's a reminder to me, and it's enough. And I trust that that's true. So I just keep going. And I've heard you mention a couple of times as I've listened to Gentle Healing the next day. And some people are expressing, you know, well, why should I do any of this if it, you know, none of it really matters. And only one in a million people are going to wake up. And I also experienced that same sense, maybe in different words. And I'll dig up. I have some correspondence from Michael Langford to me in regards to that I will share on Tuesday in Gentle Healing. I'll make a point to try to stay awake long enough that I hopefully will, that'll work out. So, but it was encouraging to me, and I think it can be encouraging to everybody else too. So I'll just leave it at that. And that's my sharing. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy. And what I'll do is, you know, I fortunately read that, so I know what you're referring to, and it is very good. So what I will do is I will put you at the beginning of the agenda. So you can share that first, and that should be helpful. And that way we also make sure we get through it. We don't squeeze it in. So what I will do now is play the closing song. And then, of course, we'll go into the fellowship, which will be led by Jay from his new home in La Vida, Colorado, right behind the retreat house. So that'll be fun. But let me play our closing song first. This song is called No Body, two words, No Body. And it's by a band called Wookie Foot.
Just a little dancing on cell walls. Look behind the eyes to find the light inside and realize that everybody's nobody at all. The tilt of the axis starting to shift. I can hear the spirit singing, voices lift. Now change is coming from the roots to the leaves. And Buddha and Shiva and the elephant agree. A chain reaction of compassion from the ashes of greed is coming to set us free. This body, everybody's nobody, just illusions dancing on cell walls. Look behind the eyes to find the light inside and realize that everybody's nobody at all.
I'm having trouble finding the pause button. I'll just close that out. All right, so thank you everyone for joining with me, and I will again send that link to Don and put Kathy at the beginning of the gentle healing agenda for Tuesday. Those are my action items from today's meeting. I release the mic.